beautiful. We are in this together. Isn't this fantastic? Doesn't it just feel wonderful? Thank you, God. And it's a joy and a privilege to be doing this together. And we cannot do this without one another. And thank God that we have that Spirit of God within us, that we are here. Didn't something stir in your heart that inspired you? Well, I really need to be there. And then maybe after the teachings yesterday, the things that might have happened in your heart last night or this morning, it's God at work within us. And I'd like to open this morning in Ephesians chapter 2, because He has not only called us out individually to be with Him and to be in this wonderful family, but we certainly have a life ahead together to carry out the will of the Father. And in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 4, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up," how? "Together. And made us sit," how? "Together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." He has called us out, and He has placed us together, and we are seated together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. This is not something of our own making or of our own works. This is from the heart of our Father God, that He could have a family, that we could be together in a very effective, beautiful, wonderful arrangement. Verse 9, "Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. We are His masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You see, God has not only prepared good works for us as individuals, but He has prepared a good work for us to walk together, that we should walk in those good works together. And think of this weekend, how we are together. And how much heart and love and care was put into the preparation of this so that we could be together. And how every single person here has been an important part of this. Each and every one of us has contributed in a very special and unique and important way. And that is the way God has called us to walk together. The topic I wanted to share this morning with you is walking with one accord. And this word, one accord, in the Greek is homothumadon. And it's really a wonderful word. It means to, it basically means to be of one mind. But it's more than me just saying to you, "Oh, okay, I agree with you." It's much, much more than that. It is, we are of one mind in that there is passion involved. There is intensity involved. We are moving together in unison in one passion toward a common goal. And that goal is not each of our individual goals. It's not even our collective goals. It is God our Father's goal. It is a response to what God has initiated. It's a unified, passionate movement toward His goal. And I wanted to read on this handout the definition in the Greek. It's a compound of two words meaning to rush along and in unison. The image is almost musical. A number of notes are sounded which, while different, harmonize in pitch and tone. As the instruments of a great concert under the direction of a concert master, so the Holy Spirit blends together the lives of members of Christ's church. Isn't that wonderful if you think of a symphony orchestra and you've got someone who's already composed the whole score. The music has been written. It's the most beautiful piece ever composed. And then you have the conductor, the Lord Jesus Christ, and every single part, every single member of that symphony orchestra is vital and important. And that's how we are. And when we move together with that kind of a unison, with one mind, one passion, one heart, well, we thrive. And God's people are blessed, and we are blessed, and His will comes to pass. So we're going to look at a few occurrences in the book of Acts of this particular word and see how the first century church apostles walked with one accord. So, in Acts chapter 1, now, if you remember, Jesus Christ, of course, was, I would call, a great visionary. But was it His own vision? No. He always said, I always do the will of the Father. He didn't say or do anything without being in harmony with God. And that's how He accomplished what He accomplished for us. He had His heart, His mind, His obedience completely fixed on His Father. But remember the group of men that He worked with? Were they completely obedient and in harmony? And No. They were contentious, they were rebellious, they were argumentative, they were stubborn, they were a lot of different things. They were concerned about, you know, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Those were the group of men that He worked with, and yet we will see in the book of Acts that they got to the point that they were walking in one accord, in this harmony together. And they were unified in purpose, and they were giving glory to God. So in Acts chapter 1, first of all, Jesus Christ, of course, had been raised from the dead, and He had been ascended. And they had had a period of time with Him prior to His ascension. And He told them, you know, to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. And they obeyed Him. And in verse 14, they were in Jerusalem. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. So here's the first occurrence of this. You see that they were together in one accord in prayer. In specific prayer. And that is something that we can all do, whether we're together in one place or we're in another country, in another part of town. We can be united in prayer together, one with another. And what happened as a result of their being in one accord at this point in time? Something very important occurred. They received a very clear, specific direction from God. And that was to appoint. This was actually the fulfillment of a prophecy you can read in Psalms. But because Judas was no longer in the picture, he had betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ and he was gone. He was not with them at this point when they were with one accord in prayer. So the direction from God and the necessary fulfillment of this prophecy was that they would appoint another who would be a witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, because they were steadfast in prayer, that was the result of that. In Acts chapter 2, of course, this great moment that they were waiting for, they were waiting for the fulfillment of the promise. In verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came from a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they were with one accord, one purpose. They were waiting for the fulfillment of that promise. And they did it with great humility and obedience. Where did they learn that? How did they go from being men who were rebellious, contentious, stubborn, to being men who were very humble and obedient to the end that they did that? From the Lord Jesus Christ. So because of that, they received the outpouring of Holy Spirit. And then, you know, you can read this account later, but Peter lifted up his voice with great boldness and gave glory to God in the front of all of those people, gave glory to God in that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and he began to preach the resurrection. And as a result of that, about 3,000 souls were saved. And then great awe came upon every soul. And many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. That was the result of them being in one accord. And how important was that at that time? You know, it was critically important. Their obedience. I mean, what happened on that day has resounded through that line of history that Jan mentioned. It has resounded up till this point, and here we are together. In Acts 2, the next occurrence, in verse 46, they continued daily in the temple and from house to house. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. The result of their being in one accord was a gladness and singleness of heart. And don't we enjoy that with one another when we are enjoying that great unity and we are moving together with a unified, passionate purpose? We have gladness and we have singleness of heart. And they praised God. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So they praised God, they had favor, grace, and thanksgiving among the people, and the church grew. And there it is. As the love grew and continued, the church grew. And it was the growth that was a growth from God. Remember we read that yesterday? And then, as a result, if you just continue to read through the first few chapters of Acts, what happened? The signs and the miracles and the wonders began to happen. And in Acts 3, remember Peter and John, they healed a lame man at the temple? And the people ran together and they were filled with amazement. And they saw him walking and leaping and praising God. And then Peter, again, stood up and publicly gave praise and glory to God. And then, of course, in Acts 4, do you remember what happened at that point? Everybody's excited. This man who had been lame for 4 years is healed. And all the people are amazed. There's tremendous excitement. But what about the religious leaders? What about those people that had crucified our Lord Jesus Christ? They were not happy, and they certainly were not walking in that one accord. Their purpose was much different, and their passion was much different. But you see the excitement growing. You see how the church was growing. You see how God was giving the increase. And you can imagine as they walked together, and they fellowshiped daily, and they broke bread together, and they recognized that importance, you know, as they... That, you know, can you imagine just the great value that they began to recognize in one another? Those apostles who had spent that time with Jesus Christ and who had had their minds so divided and so self-centered and so concerned about themselves, all of a sudden realized what was happening. That he had told them to wait in Jerusalem that the promise would come from the Father. It came, and they were filled with power, and then there it was. You could just see that. You can just see the conductor beginning, right, in that symphony. The symphony is about to begin, and how excited they must have been. And then the result of those people that were witnessing what was going on. People were being healed, and then great praise and glory was going to God. But as I was saying in Acts chapter 4, the religious leaders were enraged. And they grabbed Peter and John and threw them in jail. Remember that? It says in chapter 4, verse 2, being grieved that they taught the people and they preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, they laid hands on them and put them in hold. And the thing was, they could not stop what God had already begun. They threw Peter and John in jail, certainly, but the people and the excitement and the walking in unity and one accord and the passionate desire to continue had already begun, and there was no way they could stop it. Oops, 5,000 people believed that day, regardless of what the religious leaders did. And Peter stood when he was called in question, and he was asked, by what name do you speak? By what name have you healed this man? They didn't care at all about the lame. He stood and he looked into the very eyes of those men who had condemned and crucified Jesus Christ. And he said, by the name of Jesus Christ, who you crucified, by the way, God has raised from the dead. And by him, you see this man standing here whole before you. And can you imagine the excitement that just grew and grew and grew? It was multiplying. And the passion grew. And I see that happening with us. Don't you? I mean, you see it in areas that you go to, in the area that you live, and in Colombia, in India, in these different places where God is just working within the lives of people to move together in this unified, passionate way. And it is so exciting that we get to be a part of it. In Acts chapter 4, after they let Peter and John go, of course they threatened them, and they tried to beat them up a little bit. But I think at that point they had realized, look, you know, there is a mob gathering here, and we cannot deny what has happened here. And they let Peter and John go. And then in Acts 4:23, it says, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. How would you like to have that happen in your fellowship? You know, here's a testimony. We took a stand. We spoke in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We healed someone who was in need, and they couldn't stop us. And the joy that they must have had in that gathering. In verse 24, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. And they just went on to give incredible praise and glory to God. So you see how they began in one accord simply by obeying the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They prayed. That was where they began, to be in one accord. And then you see the result as the signs and miracles and wonders begin to happen. They unitedly lifted up their voice to God. And can you imagine just the praise just resounding through the heavens? Because of what God had done. So, Peter asked for more boldness. And he got it. And they had great power and great grace. And they were of one heart and of one soul. Now, let's talk some more about us.
You know, we have unity. There's a great word that, Jan shared with me. I may have mentioned this yesterday, but the verb live for unity is to turn with interest, to turn toward a person with interest and affection. And our unity, remember, it's not of our own making. But when we turn one toward another, and I have a great interest in you, because when I look at you, you know, I may say, oh, look, there's Donaldo. I know him. But when I look at him, my interest is because we have the same spirit. And when we look at one another, and perhaps this has happened to you just in your daily goings and comings, you may encounter a person that you've never met before, and you begin to speak with them, and you recognize, you might even have a mutual recognition that there is spirit there. And that is the great value and wonder, like Jan was saying, I am excited about you, and I may not get to spend as much time as I would love to with you, but I know that you have Holy Spirit, and you are doing your part in what God has called you specifically to do that I could not do. And this all works together so that God's will come to pass, and that what is His desire? That all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And that's what we're a part of. That is what we're doing. I'd like to look in Ephesians 4. This is a great section. I've heard it referred to as the 1-1-1-1-1-1-1 section. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And you know that unity is something that God has established. Okay, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Is there any question of how many? We are one body. There's one God, one spirit. We are one body, and we are united. And unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the Spirit of Christ. In Philippians 2, actually not that same word, homothumadon. It is a different word, but it means of one mind and of one accord. In Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, have you found any consolation in Christ? Yes. Any comfort of love? Yes, great comfort of love. Any fellowship of the Spirit? Yes, one Spirit. Any bowels and mercies? Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And isn't it amazing that we have access to the mind of Christ? That we can actually put those full, wonderful, life-giving thoughts in our minds
become like-minded because we're all doing it, and then lift one another up in love. I wanted to share a song with you before we close up this afternoon. And this actually is a song that was written and produced by a member in particular. I've never met him face to face, but I do believe that he is moving together with us in a united, passionate fashion to see God's word run swiftly around the world. And the interesting thing is, he wrote this song and decided to do a worldwide version of it because his vision, too, is worldwide. And so what he did was he had produced this song before, but he took the tracks and he knew different people who did music to bless God's people around the world. And he asked them to add a track, to add, as God inspired them, the words, and sing it in the fashion with the heart and the passion that was moved in their hearts by God. And as you listen to this, you will hear these languages: English, Hindi, Indonesian, Russian, Portuguese. You will hear a Zulu choir, Afrikaans, and Mandarin Chinese. And you will hear, and I welcome you to sing along if you know this song. This is a group of people, a recording of God's people lifting up their voices in praise and honor and glory to Him.
chapter 15 here on your handout. Romans 15, verse 5. Now the God of patience and of comfort grant you to think in harmony with each other in Jesus Christ, that with one mind and with one mouth you may praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of this, draw near and bear up each other, as also Christ has drawn near to you for the glory of God. We can do that, and we will do that, and we've been called to do that, and we love to do that. It's a joy and a privilege to do that together with you. Amen?
Amen.
This is a love offering for them. Okay.
Everybody come up for the picture.